Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Cinema Royale is brought to you by Pride of Love, a story about hope, faith, and love. A hate crime shatters a young man's life. You can find your copy at xlbris.com or prideoflove.godaddysites.com. That's Pride of Love at xlbris.com or prideoflove.godaddysites.com.
My house got robbed.
What did they take?
My grandma's silver.
Did you call the authorities?
Yeah.
The world is bigger than your silverware.
Grow up.
Everyone is an asshole. Taking my mind. Sometimes I feel like I'm underneath a whirlpool. Like I can't even breathe. The way people treat each other
makes me so furious. Kevin, stop it! Is there anything I can do?
Open sesame. Gotcha.
Police!
Your son broke into my house.
Well, welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and that clip you just heard was from I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, one of the big winners at this year's Sundance Film Festival. And this year I was there for the sixth or seventh year in a row, I think. And I think this was the wildest Sundance I've been to in a while. Just a rundown of the things that happened while at Sundance this year, okay? First of all, it snowed every damn day. There was snow every single day, just about. Most snow I've seen in all the years I've been going there. Just snow, snow, snow. Even I got a little bit sick of it. I never got cold because I don't get cold. It's just my thing. But trudging through the snow was a bit of a pain. We had the Women's March on Saturday, which was awesome. But it did shut down the shuttle routes for a while, so that caused a little bit of chaos on Saturday. We had a cyber attack that shut down the ticketing office, which caused some chaos. We had a power outage, which caused all sorts of issues, too. Oh, and there was this little, like, you know, like our president instituted a Muslim ban. Yeah, and that happened yesterday during the awards ceremony. So you can guess that many of the acceptance speeches were attacking Donald Trump, which they should have. So it was a lot of chaos this year. But in the midst of all that, there were also a lot of great movies. You can find all my reviews over at punchdrunkcritics.com, as well as the reviews from May Abdelbaki, who's, you know, she comes there with me. She's been there with me, what, the last two or three years, I think. And she's always a huge help. She does great reviews. You can find her work over at our site as well. You can follow all of our coverage there at punchdrunkcritics.com. But she's joining me today to run down some of the movies that she saw, that we both saw at Sundance this year. So let's bring May on right now. What's up, May?
Hey, Travis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, sleepy.
are you fully recovered from Sundance?
I think so. I like to think so, but I feel like I'm not ready to go back to real life.
I don't want to go to any screenings. Like, we have a screening on
Monday. Yeah, I don't want to either.
I would normally go. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go. I gave it to somebody else. I don't want to go. I'm not going to go back to Thursday. The Comedian, which I think we got a screen link for.
Oh, okay.
But I can't find it. And I'm saying I never got to watch it. So I would normally go. It's Robert De Niro. I mean, of course I want to go. but I just don't feel up to it. That, and I'm sick. I'm feeling sick. Mm-hmm. So, so I think I'm going to go back. I know. I thought I escaped the Sundance flu this year because I left a day early. I felt great.
You know,
I got home. And then all of a sudden, the next day, I got sick. I don't know what happened.
I got really lucky.
I
got really lucky because for 3 days straight, trudging through the snow, I'm positive my socks were soaking in all the water that was in my shoes.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I ended up not getting sick, but I'm happy.
I think I got sick from somebody on the plane, which really made me mad, but it's the only thing I can think of. So, yeah, whatever. So, yes, last night they had the Sundance Awards. I posted those up on punchdrunkcritics.com. Just to read off just a few of them, eh? The winner of the Grand Jury Award for Drama went to I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore, which is Mason Blair's film with Melanie Lynskey and Elijah Wood. I played a clip from that right at the beginning. Crown Heights won the Audience Award for Drama, which I was a little surprised by. Ingrid Goes West won the Waldo Salt Screenwriting Award. You reviewed that one for us. And the Yellow Birds won the Jury Award for Best Cinematography. So, you know, it was just a few surprises there. At least for me, Crown Heights was a surprise. I was glad to see Shantae Adams win a breakthrough performance for Roxanne. She's really good in that movie. I was thinking about all this, and I was wondering if I had seen anything that instantly strikes me as an Oscar contender, the way Manchester by the Sea did when I saw it last year on Dance. And I think if I had to come up with one, the only one I could possibly think of is Mudbound, which is the film by Dee Reeves, which is set post-World War II, deals with two families, one African-American, one white. And, of course, it deals with race and all sorts of other things, but it's not your typical race movie. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head that strikes me as an Oscar contender. But you saw just as many movies as I did. What were your impressions? Did you find one that you thought seemed like an Oscar movie to you?
I don't think I found one that seemed like an Oscar movie to me particularly, at least what we know that the Oscars tend to nominate, because if it were up to me, you know, I would change the whole thing. but I don't think anything struck me like that. I didn't get to see Mudbound. And I don't think anything else that I saw really screamed Oscar contender particularly. Yeah, because everything else, you know, I mean, maybe, no, not Call Me By Your Name wouldn't probably be an Oscar contender, but I thought it was really good.
Let's talk about that one a little bit, because in the last couple of days at Sundance, the movie I heard the most about, other than Patty Cakes, which I'm absolutely upset that I didn't get a chance to see now, was Call Me By Your Name, which everybody had a ton of praise for. Now, you had a chance to check one out. It's from Luca Guadagnino, who's the guy who gave us I Am Love and A Bigger Splash just last year, which is a movie that I loved. Talk to me a little bit about Call Me By Your Name. What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot. I thought I did see Bigger Splash. I did like that one, but I thought it kind of went off the rails at the end. With this one, he has he has such natural way of storytelling. It's all so gorgeous to look at. It's set in Northern Italy. It flows so well, and it's kind of looking at the human experience, because everything they're doing is just so natural. You'll see them eating all the time. They're spending their summers reading and talking and going to swimming and all this stuff that you tend to do, you know, during the summer breaks. And it follows this teenage boy who is kind of just living his normal life until he meets the guest of his father, who is a professor. And the guest is Armie Hammer, who's there to study with the professor about, I think, archaeology was it. And they tend to interact, but at first they're not so fond of each other, only because it's a little awkward. And then they hang out more, and they start to fall in love with each other. And so the teenage boy tries to find his, you know, his sexuality in a way. It's like this very open, honest relationship, and he's never had that, and he's not very good at expressing himself verbally either. So I think this relationship helps him do that. And I just think between the cinematography and everything, it was just so peaceful and serene, and it flowed really, really well.
You also had a chance to see Marty Noxon's To the Bone. This one stars Lily Collins and Keanu Reeves. When I think Marty Noxon, I think of Buffy the Vampire Slayer first, but I believe she also wrote the Fright Night remake. Talk to me a little bit about the tone of this one, because this one deals with anorexia, doesn't it? That doesn't sound like a very funny subject.
No, not at all, as you can imagine. It's not super dark, but it does deal with a lot of, you know, Lily Collins, who plays the anorexic character, and what she's going through. And what I did like about it is because usually movies that deal with mental illness don't necessarily deal with it in a way where it's about the person who's suffering from the mental illness. We get a lot about how the family feels and, you know, how their life is turned upside down. This is more a little bit introspective, in which she has to kind of – she goes to a new doctor, who's Keanu Reeves, and he's basically like this tough love doctor. He's like, you either want to live your life or you don't. You want to care about helping yourself or you don't. So she ends up in this 6-week program where she has to live with other people who also have similar illnesses like bulimia or, you know, things like that. And then that's where she meets this one character who brings a lighter tone to the film. And it's not always so, you know, doom and gloom for her. And she has to kind of – it's less about trying to fix her anorexia and more about her trying to find the will to live so that she can be around for her sister, like, who's really always like, just don't die on me, you know, and all of that stuff. So I thought it was really good at balancing some darker elements to it. And then there was also like lighter moments.
One of the films that sold fairly early on and that you and I both had a chance to see was Fun Mom Dinner. With Katie Hazelton, Toni Collette, I was going to know your opinion already, Molly Shannon, and Bridget Everett. And, you know, we both saw this, and we walked out. I was like, yeah, this is for you. fun, although I didn't like it.
You did.
And this is sort of like, to me, it was a total Bad Moms knockoff, which, you know, even if Bad Moms didn't exist, it wouldn't have been funny, but at least it would have felt fresh. It doesn't feel fresh at all. In fact, I said it was like your mom making your favorite home-cooked meal with bargain basement ingredients. What did you think of Bad Moms? I mean, Fun Mom Dinner, although I already know what you think of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I pretty much, I hated it. It was probably one of the worst films I saw at Sundance, I'm not going to lie. It was just so, I don't know, it was inauthentic. It was trying way too hard. There was nothing funny about it. It was the typical, and I saw it, not just Bad Moms, there was another film a couple of years ago that starred Sean Astin and I don't even know who else. And
Moms Laid Out.
Yes, so it was like,
yeah, you
all
that for
same.
Us. I never did see it.
they were like, oh, well, let's take a night out and have a good time. And so they're all exactly the same. And if they don't bring anything new or, like, the true, like, mom experience, it's just like, hey, let's go out. Our kids are asleep, but let's go out and do something crazy. And it all ends up being not that crazy. And then they find friendship, and it's just it just doesn't feel – it's not original. It's not funny. And it's just really, really hard to sit through. And uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable. And I ran into a guy on the shuttle who was talking to me about it, and he was like, he really, really liked it. And I was just, I'm glad you did. I wasn't feeling it. And he was trying to explain to me why he liked it so much. I was like, okay, man. I mean, that's great.
Well,
I just, he thought it felt really original and having the moms, we're having like actual conversations and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it started off that way.
Mm-hmm.
When they first go on their little fun mom dinner. Yeah. It did start off that way with them having conversations about stuff. And that was kind of nice, but then it got all contrived. You had like,
right.
The screenwriter is Julie Rudd, Paul Rudd's wife. So Paul Rudd shows up as a weed dispenser. Why they're at a weed dispensary, I don't know. But they ended up at a weed dispensary. It was like, okay. When they run into all these kids on a yacht, having a party, they run into Adam Levine, who falls for one of the women. And it's like, oh, my God, all this stuff feels funny. So if it, had stayed the way it was, yeah, it might have been a nice little change of pace. But it didn't trust it to be that. It wanted to be a bad mom sort of type movie, and it just never did it. So never did it.
Right.
You saw one movie that I really wanted to see, and I never had a chance to, which is Before I Fall, which stars Zoe Deutsch, she's on my list. Zoe Deutsch. This is sort of a YA sort of movie, like meets Groundhog Day sort of thing. Talk to me a little bit about Before I Fall.
Before I Fall was kind of, excuse me, Mean Girls kind of meets Groundhog Day, but I think that's it's making it too simple.
Right.
It kind of starts off that way, but then with each passing day, she kind of lives her life like way differently, or she's in a completely different mood. Like at first she's so in love with her friends and they're mean to this one girl. But then, you know, a few days later after she's lived a few days and she's getting really frustrated, she really gets in it with her friends and is like, you're really mean. Like, why do we do this? She's just in a bad mood and she pretty much breaks it off with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times she's trying to figure out, you know, the other girl that they're mean to is story. And it's just, I think it's a deeper look about what makes us good people, what brings us, like, good character, and why do bullies, like, why the girl is basically a bully. And even though it's understandable why she is, I still, she was, like, the one character that I didn't completely feel any sympathy for, because I don't care if you're really a bully, you're just really super cruel to someone.
Right.
But it does explore the humanity behind those actions and the different characters and why they do what they do. And obviously the main character, she's kind of going through all of this stuff. She befriends the mean girl. But then throughout the film, she's kind of asking, like, why do I do that? What makes me a good person? Am I a good person? And I think, that's fascinating. So I think it's a little bit more mature young adult type film.
Did you have a chance to see The Big Sick?
I did.
Yeah, I believe may have sold for the most that's on this year. I know it sold for like $10.5 million. I can't remember how much Patty Cake sold for, but I think it was close to that or comparable. The Big Sick stars Kumail Nanjiani. Stars Zoe Kazan, and it's about his real-life relationship with Emily V. Gordon, his wife.
Hello? 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 Can you hear me now? Hello? 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 Hey, Travis. Hey, can you hear me now? Hello? 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 Hello?